Our Old Testament reading from today is from Isaiah chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. The word that Isaiah, son of Amoz, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. In days to come, the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established as the highest of the mountains and shall be raised above the hills. All the nations shall stream to it. Many peoples shall come and say, "Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us his ways and that we may walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth instruction and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between the nations and shall arbitrate for many peoples. They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. O house of Jacob, come, let us walk in the light of the Lord." The word of God for the people of God. Well, happy Advent, everyone. And as Advent begins the Christian calendar, Happy New Year, too. We retell this Advent story every year, waiting for Christ to be born again, waiting for declarations of hope made by angels again, waiting for ancient promises and prophecies to come to fruition again. And we rehearse and replay the old story with the living Christ looking on, with the risen Christ in our midst, watching us put a new baby in the manger. So if Christ has already come, then what are we waiting for this year? It makes me consider the ancient Israelites who wrote these words of Scripture and the first century Jews whom Jesus was born to, because they were also waiting for something. We know that they were waiting for a Messiah, but they did not expect to receive one man who would save us all separately from individual sins. And they did not expect to receive one man to throw oppressors off of their backs. They were waiting for the coming of a new age. They were looking for a much larger story. So this Advent, in our time of waiting, are we looking for a larger story? You see, the ancient Israelites believed that the Messiah was the anointed one. He was a sign that God was eradicating evil from the earth. He was a sign that Zion was coming. And so we may be familiar with this place called Zion. It's mentioned many times in Scripture, but it was not an actual physical place that existed. See, Zion was their idea of paradise. It was their idea of heaven on earth. It was their prophecy of what God's reign would look like. So you see, they weren't just waiting for a king. They were also waiting for God's kingdom, because they didn't even consider that you would get one without the other. They weren't waiting for someone to show them the way. They were waiting for someone who would bring the way with them, the autobasileia. Now, this is a big word. It's a Greek word, autobasileia. So we know that auto is a self-referencing word, like autopilot is a plane that pilots itself. And basileia is a word meaning king or kingdom. So put together, the autobasileia means that the king is the kingdom. He is the kingdom he preaches. So in our time of Advent, we're not waiting for Jesus to be born because he has already come. We are waiting and watching for all of those things that Jesus brings, for all of those things that are a part of him, for the kingdom of God, and for the coming of a new age when Christ returns. So for the ancient Israelites, who were almost always being sacked or carried off into bondage, they were ready for God's kingdom. They were ready for the coming of a new age. And even Christians in our modern day who are being violently persecuted, They are ready for God's kingdom. They are ready for the coming of a new age. But what about us? What about those of us who are not fighting for our lives? What about those of us who have gotten comfortable in our present age? I once heard someone say that not all Christians want to be in the kingdom of God because we don't get to choose who else is there. And I also think we're not always looking for the kingdom of God because it's the opposite of our modern consumer society. You see, the kingdom of God is not all about me. It's not customized to my liking. It's not a place of competition or achievement or accumulation where I can rise above others. Instead, we're told that Zion is a place of holiness and peace and learning. We're told in Isaiah, "Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us his ways and that we may walk in his paths." And this is so prophetic, because to say, "teach us his ways and walk in his paths," that is discipleship. That is how a disciple learns from a rabbi, because we don't simply follow the teaching of our rabbi. We physically walk in his paths to learn to walk like him and to eat like him and to live like him. And to keep going, in Isaiah it says, "For out of Zion shall go forth instruction and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between the nations and shall arbitrate for many people. They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nations shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore." They beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks because God's kingdom needs no weapons. And we will not learn war anymore because God does not teach it. And this is really fascinating because there is so much war in the Old Testament that we can sometimes misunderstand that and think that's somehow what God wants, that somehow the God of the Old Testament is very angry or bloodthirsty, while it's the God of the New Testament who's merciful and forgiving. But we hear from these Old Testament writers that if everyone were listening to God, if we were really following his teaching, there would not be war, and we would not be learning how to fight each other. We would not be learning how to hurt each other, because God does not teach those things. Those things are not God's will, and they have never been God's will. So that is what the writers of the Bible were waiting for a scene of creation, a holy mountain, healed and whole, creation at peace. Just like we say in the Lord's Prayer, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." That is what they were waiting for. A much larger story that began before time itself, and a story that is still going and that calls us to take part. Because like the familiar characters of the Advent and Christmas story, we have them lined up for you here on the altar, like those characters, we also play a role. There have been men and women in church history, and right here at Ramsey Church, who have been like these Advent characters, like Simeon and Anna from Luke's Gospel. We've had people here at Ramsey who have lived long, faithful lives, who knew that God was doing something, and whose very lives were a witness to that holy expectation. And we've had people in our midst who are like Elizabeth, Mary's cousin, people who are comforting and nurturing and who empower others to do what they're called to do. There are those of us who have been called to declare good news out on the fringes, just like the angels of old. And some of us were on the fringes ourselves, like shepherds, when we first heard the story. There are those of us who are wise and studious, searching for truth God has revealed on earth. And there are so many here who are called to give hospitality and shelter, just like the Advent innkeeper, not knowing who it is that we are truly helping.